Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and we've got a very special program lined up for you today. I've gone back and taken some of my old programs that I made not very long ago, just in the last 6 months or so, but we've had the biggest response to some of these programs that we've ever had. I mean, people are just really getting their lives transformed. And so we decided, rather than just air these programs one time, and I know that there's many of you that don't watch every day, or many of you may be brand new to the program, we hated to just let these great programs go, so we're doing a best of series, and we're going to go back and resurrect some of these old programs, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to you. So open up your heart and get ready to be blessed.
He was like a brand new boy. We seen him for the first time since he was 3 months old, with a clear face, a clear complexion. The spots on his skin, they were disappearing. And we were just like, we have a new kid. It was amazing. And he was happy.
Now, when she woke up, the first thing we said to her when she woke up was, Jesus has healed you. And she, as soon as she heard that, she smiled. She said, I want to eat.
Yeah, now you can eat. I said to her, so what do you want to eat? She goes, I want some lunch. I want to go to McDonald's.
And I said, what do you mean she's healed? She's healed, she's healed. And we were just jumping for joy.
Wow. She took one hand on the covers and threw it back. She took her other arm and went straight across Andrew's chest and at the same time kicked with her feet to get those covers off.
And those little legs came swinging off of that pallet, and they hit the floor.
February 1st, 2002, she comes to me, Mama, I've had a little prayer. I said, yeah, it's usually a little one. What is it? She says, I don't need these puffers anymore. I said, fine, you're done. And that was it. We threw them out. She's been drug-free, symptom-free since.
On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the gospel truth and to a brand new series that I'm starting today talking about the subject of healing. And I am really excited about this. You know, when I first got really turned on to the Lord, healing is one of the first things that I begin to start really believing God for. And I often use examples of healing as examples of how your faith works. And, you know, let me just say up front as we begin this series that I don't claim to understand everything that there is about healing. I really don't. This is an area that I'm seeking the Lord in, and I am continually gaining new revelation in it. And in a way, it would be nice not to even put that little disclaimer on it, because there's some people that immediately think just because I don't claim to know it all that they don't want to listen to me. But let me also say this, that it is an area that I've spent a lot of time in. I personally, it has now been about 35, 36, 37 years since I've been sick. I have sickness hit me. I have it come against me, like, for instance, colds, the flu, different things. But I know how to deal with it, and I'll pray over it. And I mean, it's a matter of hours, and I see those things overcome. And so I don't feel like sickness has won out in my life for 35 years or more. I mean, I have actually walked free of headaches all during that time. The only time that I've taken a pill in the last 38 years is one time when I got a tooth pulled, and it was just hurting so bad that I actually took a pill to kill the pain, and that is it for 35 years. And I have seen God do some wonderful, miraculous things. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the lame walk. We've had some wonderful things happen. I've even seen the dead raised, including my own son raised from the dead. And so what I'm saying is that I don't claim that I understand it all, but I have seen victory in this area that is absolutely supernatural. I don't think anybody could argue with this. And one of the things that we're going to do during this series that I'm very excited about is that my television crew has actually put together what we're calling healing journeys. And we have a DVD that we're offering during this series on our teaching on healing, where we have done interviews with, I think, 6 different people who have been miraculously healed. Many of them have doctors' reports and things that can show, even verify, that this healing was true. And we have that on DVD. And we're going to be playing some of those during our television broadcast. So I'm going to be teaching the word on this, sharing things that, again, I don't claim that I have it all figured out. I don't think that I've arrived, but I've left. I can tell you that I'm moving in the right direction because of the results that I'm seeing. And in the people that I minister to, I see more results of healing than the vast majority of people that I minister to. So I'm just saying this to say that I'm offering to you this teaching on healing. I may not have it all figured out, and yet I believe that if you would receive the things that God has shown me and the things that I've implemented and put to practice in my life, I believe that this is going to transform your relationship with God as far as your physical body and walking in healing is concerned. Now, there is a segment of Christianity, and of course, I'm going to be teaching on this and more. I'm just giving kind of an introduction right now. But there's a segment of Christianity, a large portion of the body of Christ, that believe that healing is not for us today. Many people would believe that God can heal, but we have no control over this. We have nothing. It is just God who sovereignly decides who will be healed and who will not be healed. And so those people who believe that God doesn't heal, or that it's just totally up to God and that we cannot believe and that we have nothing to do with it, there's going to be a lot of people who will probably be offended at this and take exception with me and disagree on this teaching. But I would like to encourage you and challenge you to listen. I mean, again, I don't know how people can sit there and say that it doesn't happen when I've got doctors' reports and all of these testimonies and things that prove that it does happen and that people have been able to believe for it and overcome all of these incurable diseases and things. You just nearly have to stick your head in the sand and willfully disbelieve that this is true. And I believe that healing is something that, of course, people need. It would be a blessing to you just to receive the physical healing. But even beyond that, one of the reasons I believe that healing is so important is because if God is almighty, as I believe every true believer believes that He is, and it is well documented in the Bible that He healed, and we're going to be talking about a lot of these examples of healing in the Bible. And so if God is almighty, and if He has this power to heal, and then He doesn't use it, and as many people in the body of Christ teach that God wants us to suffer, that God is the source of this sickness, if all of those things are true, well then, you know what? That really, really discredits God. And it sends a message that God is this uncaring, God who is disconnected from us when it comes to practical, physical things, that it's only, God is only for eternity and the next life, but really doesn't have a lot of application to this life. Now, I know that some people may think I'm making a stretch there, but I could give you some names. I'm not going to mention names, but there is one of our television moguls. I mean, one of the leading guys that owns these television networks today, that my wife read this in some magazine talking about it. And this guy was raised in a Christian church. His sister, at a young age, when they were just little kids, got sick and died of some disease. And because the church came out and said that it was God's will for his sister to die, that God is the one that put the sickness on her, and it was God's will that she died, this guy turned against the Lord and today claims to be, I forget if it's an agnostic or an atheist, I'm not sure which it is, but anyway, he says if there is a God and if God is responsible for killing his sister, then he doesn't want anything to do with him. And this man is intentionally out, and by his own admission, to change the Christian ethics of the United States. And he's using all of his influence and power because somebody taught that God, who is all-powerful and could heal if He wanted to, doesn't choose to heal and actually chooses to put sickness on people. And that's one example, and I believe that there are thousands of examples that this has turned people against the Lord. I tell you, if people understood the goodness of God and that it was God's will for you to be well, and if people understood this and started experiencing it, I tell you, it would not only bless the individuals who get healed, but it would bless all of the individuals who love these people who are suffering and going through these things. As you go through the Word, let me just use a couple of scriptures here to introduce this. But Jesus used healings like a bell to draw people's attention unto Him, and then He ministered to their spiritual and emotional needs. But healing was something that Jesus used constantly. I'm not going to take time to go through these things in depth, because as we go through this series, I will come back to these scriptures and we will teach more in depth through it. But let me just make a point that in Mark chapter 2 is where Jesus was teaching, and there had been so many miracles happen that He was in a house and the house was absolutely cram-packed. People were outside of the house and there was no way that the people could actually get on the inside. And so a man who was paralyzed and on a stretcher, he had four of his friends bring him up to the top of this house, up to the roof, and they broke open the tiling in the roof and they let this sick man down through the roof. And when Jesus saw their faith, here's what the scripture says in Mark chapter 2 and in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And you know, that's a true statement. Nobody can forgive sins but God. If Jesus wasn't God, then He was out of place telling this man that his sins were forgiven. But of course, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, but these people didn't accept Him as that. And so look at the rest of this. It says in verse 8, "And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He saith unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say unto the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk." Now, let's not consider which is the easiest to do, but let's consider which is the easiest to say. Is it easier to say, "Your sins be forgiven," or is it easier to say, "Rise up and walk"? Well, as far as just saying, it's actually easier to say your sins are forgiven, because there isn't any way to prove whether that takes place or not. Sins are something like, you can't see a sin. You can see people commit sin, but you can't see that sin in their life. Like if a person came from just committing adultery, and if they walked in, you know, if they were all cleaned up and their hair combed and everything looked nice, you can't see that sin of adultery in their life. And you couldn't see if that sin was forgiven. So as far as just saying goes, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven than it is to say you're healed, because if you say that you're healed, well, then immediately you can see whether that healing has taken place and whether anything has happened. So it's actually harder to say you're healed than it is to say that your sins are forgiven. And of course, the logic behind this is that if Jesus could do the harder thing to say, if He could do the thing that is the hardest to say, well, then certainly He could do the thing that is easier to say. And so that's what He's saying. Which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? And then look at this in Mark chapter 2, verse 10. "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Now, this is a powerful passage of Scripture. Jesus said specifically in verse 10, "I am doing this so that you will know that I have power on earth to forgive sins." That's why He did it. The reason Jesus healed was to prove that if He could meet these physical needs, then He can also meet these spiritual needs. Today, The body of Christ has de-evolved to a point to where they are saying that God can meet our spiritual needs, that God can grant us an eternal redemption and we can live forever in heaven. And they're saying all of these things in the spiritual realm, but they don't manifest forth any proof. They don't give any assurances to people that these things are true. And there's a lot of people that they may even accept the fact that God can forgive their sins, but they see God as necessary for eternity, not for this life, because the church hasn't represented God well. We've presented that God doesn't care about our physical body. God doesn't care about our finances. God doesn't care about our emotions. That those things, God just, you know, He could do all of this, but it's not God's will. And again, some segments of the body of Christ even teach that God is the author of the problems and the hurts and the pains and the sickness and disease in our life. And that is absolutely untrue. And so because of this, there's a lot of people that believe God exists, and they believe that they need to get right with Him, but they put it off because they don't see the relevance of God to their everyday life. And there's a lot of other people that have just totally dismissed the claims of the body of Christ because they think, oh, you're just saying these things. You know, there's no proof. There's no evidence. I guarantee you, when you start seeing the dead raised, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the lame walk, when the power of God is in demonstration, then it'll be exactly like Jesus said. He did this to prove to them that He could also deal with the greater matters of the heart, the spiritual things, sins, and all of these kind of things. Let me say it this way. If Jesus needed miracles to validate His message and to tell people that what He was saying about God was true and to somehow or another give proof and evidence, if Jesus needed that, then how arrogant is it on our part today to think that we can win people over with just words and saying these things and have no proof and demonstration? If Jesus had to have proof and demonstration to validate His message, then certainly we need it today. And I believe that this is one big reason that the body of Christ isn't having more of an impact on our world, on our society today, then what is happening is because we have changed the message. Certainly, I'm not going to disagree with this, that the most important thing of all is our eternal relationship with God. We're going to live forever in either heaven or hell. And so just by virtue of the length of time that we're going to spend in eternity compared to just this brief period of time here on the earth, well, certainly that's more important. But how do you get people to recognize that what you're saying is true? How do you get them to believe that what you're saying is true? How do you prove that Christianity's claims are different from the religions, other religions of the world? You know, there is a minister, T.L. Osborne, that went on the mission field, and I think it was to India. I may not have this right, but he was over there, I think, for a year or so, and he was preaching his heart out and had seen virtually no response and was so discouraged that he actually came home. And one of the things that discouraged him was one day he was talking to a man and trying to tell him about God, and he opened up the Bible and he started quoting Scripture, and this man just stopped him. And I think that the man was a Muslim. Again, I may have some of the details of this wrong, but the principle here is what counts. And this man opened up his book, and he says, "What makes your black book better than my black book?" He says, "Your book says this, my book says this," and he just basically rejected all of his claims because he says, "I just don't believe your book." And so T.L. Osborne came home to the States, in a sense, in defeat, in shambles, because he wasn't effective. And he came back to the States and began to pray and say, "God, what can I do?" And the Lord really impressed on him this same point that Jesus made. Jesus said, "So that you may know that I have power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the sick of the palsy. And he used miracles to start validating the word. So T.L. Osborne got that revelation. He sought God, understood about how to minister healing, and then he went back overseas. And of course, again, I don't know the exact details, but T.L. Osborne has been ministering, I'm sure, for over 50 years. He's held crusades that have had over 1 million people come to him. And the thing that he used to draw the people is the supernatural, miraculous, healing, demonstrating power of God. You know, I know that there's many people watching this program who, again, are disagreeing with this because it doesn't fit your theology. But if you go back and study history, if you study church history and look at the people who have made the greatest impact, I mean, I'm talking about the greatest worldwide. It is people who have demonstrated the relevance of God to our everyday life. And the healing evangelists have had the biggest crowds. They have drawn the most people. They have seen the most people born again. That's the way that it was in the Bible. You know, I'm running short of time today. I hadn't got time to turn over to every one of these scriptures. But when Jesus was grilled about who gave you the authority and what right do you have to be doing these things, Jesus quoted from John the Baptist, who the people had received John the Baptist as a prophet, and I mean, he was well respected. So this gave a lot of, clout, I guess, to his ministry, the fact that John the Baptist, who was so well received, had said he was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. But after Jesus mentioned that, then he comes back and he says, but I don't receive the testimony of man. I have a greater witness than the witness of John. And then he says, the works that I do, these same works testify of me that I am who I said I am, and I can do what I've said I could do. Again, Jesus used miracles to validate his message. And then here's a verse that I need to turn over and show you, because many of you wouldn't believe that this is in the Bible if you don't see it. But in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Of course, I know that there's many of you right now saying, that's not in some of the oldest manuscripts. Well, I've heard that argument my whole life. But what you're missing is it's in the oldest manuscripts. Amen. It is established. It is valid. It is in Scripture, and it's borne out in Scripture as you study through the book of Acts. Just because there were some later copies that didn't have it in there, it is in the oldest, the most authoritative text. It is a part of Scripture. And it goes on to say in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. This says that when the people were preaching the true word of God, God worked with them and confirmed. The word confirm is talking about proving, helping people to believe that what they were saying was true, and the way that they did it was with signs and wonders following. If the early New Testament church needed signs and miracles and wonders to validate what they were saying is true, then again, it's absolute arrogance. I know that I'm probably making some people mad, but I tell you, this, I believe it's wrong. I believe it's wrong that we have just cut out parts of the Bible. Matter of fact, I won't mention the name of this guy, but my wife was in a chapel service at Dallas Baptist College is where she went to college, and they had a man come in, and he was preaching along these same lines, that God wants to confirm the Word, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Miracles are for us today. And, of course, the people in this Baptist college began to start taking issue with that, and there was some criticism. People began to start saying things. So what this guy did was just turn over, and he says, well, all right, let's see, Mark chapter 16. You don't believe that's supposed to be in the Bible. So he just tore that page out of the Bible. And then he started tearing out all of these miracles that Jesus did that didn't work, and he just started tearing things out of the Bible that these people said that they didn't believe. And I mean, after he got through, over half the Bible was gone. And he says, here's your Bible. And I mean, people got mad. They kicked him out of the chapel service. But there's a lot of people today that are just trying to say, oh, these things aren't true. They are true. And I'm going to be sharing with you for at least 6 weeks here, teaching. We're also going to have some DVDs on here showing you miraculous healings of people. And the whole purpose of this is to show you that God wants you well, that God is a God who not only cares about your eternity and is concerned about you in heaven, but God loves you. And according to the way that Jesus ministered, He told us we could do the same works that He did in John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And it says He was doing good healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And Jesus is the same today. Jesus wants you well. If you're sick, I've got great news for you. I've got the gospel, and that is that God wants you well, and He's already provided for your healing. There are some things you need to know. You need to change your belief. You need to change your talking. You need to change your actions. And we're going to be sharing some things with you that I believe are going to make a huge difference in your life. I'd like you to listen as our announcer gives you some information, because we not only have my teaching on God Wants You Well, but we have this DVD with a lot of testimonies about this, a little booklet, some things that would be a blessing. So listen, and please receive these materials, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled God Wants You Well has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. Today, for the first time, we've collected five miracle stories in one brand new DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a five-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's four-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. When you order the album, we'll include a free copy of Andrew's power-packed booklet titled God Wants You Well, which is a great way to introduce this topic to someone else. The first teaching in this series is available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TI1, titled Healing is in Christ's Atonement, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to encourage you to please get these products that we're offering, because I believe that this is going to make a huge difference. I guarantee you, you could be well and see other people get well if you just receive this revelation. We have a teaching on this in CD form, cassette form. We also have it in DVD as recorded here on television, and that would be a tremendous resource. We have a little booklet that is entitled God Wants You Well, and it has some testimonies in it. We also have this Healing Journeys. Please listen as our announcer gives you this information.
The best way to reach us is through our website at awmi.net, or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. We hope to hear from you today.